is a third-year club option. I can't make it. We spent 15 minutes on the phone with him talking about the Braves and baseball, and then this comes out 2 seconds later. You can't make it up. It is Chris Thomas tonight. Turtle hanging out with you till 10 o'clock. We'll get into that. What you need to know in 30 seconds or less, he's about a 235, 240 hitter, hits about 15 home runs, around 50 RBIs a year, plays right field primarily. My theory, we're going to see a lot more of Ronnie at DH next year, so he'll be in the mix in the outfield. And he's a solid player. I mean, it's not a splash move by any stretch, but he's a good player who's been in the league for a few years. And yes, you obviously recognize the last name. But right now, we got to head out to the WadeFort.com hotline, bring in Mark Weiser, who covers UGA for the Athens Banner Herald. Mark, want to start with what happens before the next time we see the Dogs take the field. Kirby Smart has a ton of experience making sure his team stays nice and sharp throughout the college football playoff, but a lot of these players do not have that experience. So how do you think Kirby handles the time in between now and the next time we see the Dogs take the field?
Yeah, when we talked to him on Sunday after the selection came out, he was kind of still coming to grips with, you know, how he wanted to approach practices. And, you know, they had to wrap up final exams this week, the players. And, you know, maybe he'll switch it up somewhat. Obviously, things didn't go great against Notre Dame in the Sugar Bowl last year when they also had a similar layoff. But he said he didn't think it was a layoff. It was, you know, the 8 minutes at the end of the first half, the beginning of the second half. You know, they had it didn't run the ball, things of that nature. So I know he's been talking to people in coaching colleagues since a lot of these teams had problems. You know, people with teams with buys that didn't do well last year. So we'll see how that plays out.
I thought the writing was on the wall for the Alabama game. I don't know if you agree or not. Interested to get your opinion, mostly because of the way the two teams had been performing. I know what happened versus Tech in the second half, but outside of that, Mark, you know, Georgia seemingly was going one way and Bama was going another way before they met up.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I thought the Oklahoma loss and the Auburn, you know, needing to have a gutsy call there by Kalen DeBoer on fourth down, you know, kind of saved Alabama in that game. I know that the selection committee was kind of surprisingly overly impressed with that win. You know, I don't think it was a great win. It was a rivalry game, but definitely things were trending Georgia's direction. I didn't obviously expect Georgia to go up 21-0 and win the thing that lopsided. Yeah, I mean, we'll see if Alabama can get a second life, get guys healthier for the playoff. But Georgia's certainly playing as well as anyone in the country now.
To piggyback off that, it's not what Todd Gurley and Nick Chubb and others have meant to this franchise over the last handful of seasons, but the combination of Bowens and Frazier and the other guys that are in the mix seem to have really found their groove in the latter stages of the season. Do you think that the run game is going to be something that they lean on during the college football playoff?
Yeah, I mean, that's their identity this year. They want to run the ball. They want to stop the run. And they were talking about that all offseason. I mean, certainly Frazier has kind of been more the bell cow down the stretch. Bowens has been pretty banged up. They get four carries in the championship game. But, I mean, Gunnar Stockton's going to get you those design quarterback runs, the scrambles. He's going to move the chains. Dylan Bell's going to – Mike Bobo's going to put the ball in his hands, you know, in jet sweeps. But they're going to run the ball. They're going to get due time of possession. They're going to lean on the defense. And they have very strong special teams as well. So it's been a good formula for them.
Gunnar Stockton, as you just mentioned, I thought had a really representative season. There was even a point during the season that he was getting some Heisman buzz. What did you evaluate his season in totality? There were some ups and downs, but I thought overall he played really well.
I mean, it's similar to Stetson Bennett in that he's just a winner, and the way that Georgia, you know, the defense has emerged. He's very good complement to them. You know, he's not necessarily throwing the ball vertically, you know, as much as you might want to see. But, you know, I think he has five interceptions this season. Georgia's not turning the ball over. They're getting the ball in Zachariah Branch's hands on a lot of screen passes. You saw him score a touchdown. He can, you know, switch on a dime and accelerate and get in the end zone. So he's quite a weapon. I think he's something like four catches away from Georgia's single season record because they just feed him the ball again and again. And he's been, you know, a terrific get in the transfer portal for Georgia.
When it comes to the defense, I know it was earlier in the season, so it might not be as big of a concern now, but we have seen that they are gettable in certain circumstances. Do you have a worry when facing the better teams now in the playoff that we could get into a similar situation as, let's say, the Tennessee game?
Yeah, I mean, Ole Miss did pretty much what Tennessee did. I mean, Georgia couldn't get really stops, I guess, until the fourth quarter. Now, the one difference is Lane Kiffin's not going to be on the sideline, you know, helping run the offense, you know, with Charlie Weiss Jr. And, you know, Georgia's defense has stoned everyone, you know, pretty much the last four games. They haven't given up more than 10 points in a game. They've given up, I think it's two touchdowns in the last four games. But Ole Miss can throw the ball around. They have, you know, receivers on the outside. They have a quarterback that can make plays with his you know, arm and his legs. And we'll see what that looks like with the new coach who didn't get promoted to interim. He got promoted to head coach right away from defensive coordinator Pete Golding. And, you know, what kind of momentum they might have coming off their first-round game.
Bunch of stuff happening off the field as well as we're chatting with Mark Weiser. Make sure you check him out at the Athens Banner Herald for all things Dogs and UGA sports. The Jared Curtis situation, obviously not what Georgia fans wanted to see, but any level of concern about the long-term plans at quarterback for Georgia? It seems like the room was kind of crowded to begin with.
I mean, Gunnar Stockton's got another year to come back, and every indication is he will be coming back. I mean, I don't know what he was making necessarily in NIL. It wasn't Carson Beck-type money, but when you come back, you know, let's see how far he takes him in the playoff. His value is going to go up also. You know, I would not be surprised if one of the backups, Ryan Puglisi or Ryan Montgomery, transfer, not because, you know, I have inside information on that necessarily, but you don't necessarily see guys stick around like Gunnar did, like Carson Beck did in this day and age. Maybe there'll be an opportunity. Someone will whisper in their ear, come to our place, and you got a chance to start. Georgia has not signed a quarterback now. You know, as you mentioned, Jared Curtis goes to Vanderbilt. They do have a quarterback for 2028 that's rated the number one quarterback in the country, Jaden Wade out of IMG Academy. Some thought that he might, you know, go up a class and maybe be available, you know, in 2027. I'm not sure what, you know, how that's going to play out. But, you know, Georgia will look in the transfer portal. They usually do, and maybe they'll find someone they can bring in as a backup if they take a loss there in that quarterback room.
What do you make of the play of the tight end room this year? I don't want to use the word disappointed. I don't think that's fair, but I thought maybe, you know, Lawson Lucky and Oscar Delp would be, you know, a dynamic combo that, you know, would go down as maybe one of the best we've seen at UGA, but it hasn't quite been that. Why do you think that is?
I mean, Oscar Delp is having, I think, a much better year than he had last year. I don't know if his numbers are much better in terms of catches, but if you watch the games, I watch the replay, obviously, because I'm watching the game live in the press box. Both Lawson Lucky and Oscar Delp are doing a lot of dirty work on the perimeter, and they're blocking. So, you know, I would assume the NFL guys are seeing what they do. You know, if they have more of an opportunity, you know, if they get featured more, you know, they could, you know, probably put up better numbers. But I think, you know, both those guys, it seems like, you know, one or the other every game is making a crucial catch that's, you know, 15, 20 yards, you know, not getting as many catches as I guess maybe Delp did back, you know, a couple of years ago. But and I know he was thought of as a guy that could be an early round pick last year. So, but I think those guys are pretty bought in knowing that Georgia, you know, they're going to get they're on the field an awful lot. They get a lot of snaps. They run a lot of two tight end sets. So I think they're bought in that they're part of the winning formula, whether they got the catches or not.
Before I let you go, a non-Georgia question, but I'm sure you've seen by now, obviously, what's going on with Sharon Moore at Michigan. Obviously, no reason to comment on what it may or may not be going on there. Just my question to you is about Michigan on the football side. What does a team do now that they have to scramble to find a new head coach? What do you imagine the process that is like going on at Ann Arbor right now, given the circumstances?
I mean, I don't know how long this has been kind of boiling under the surface and, you know, whether Ward Manuel has already thought about that, you know, given the calendar now in college football, I wouldn't be surprised that they have a new head coach in, you know, 10 days, 2 weeks, if not less. It's still Michigan. It's still a very attractive job. You know, I don't know if they're going to clean house and others will be going too, along with, you know, the head coach now. But it's still, you know, a top five type job. And, you know, I was doing basketball interviews with Mike White when that news came down today, and us, myself and some of the other beat writers really came up with four or five names that we thought were naturals as, you know, might be interested in the job, just speculating. But so I think they won't have a problem finding a quality coach. It is out of the cycle now. Like Matt Campbell just went to Penn State. His name might have been pretty high up in that one too. So we'll see how it shakes out.
Mark, great stuff. Appreciate it as always. We'll be reading you and we'll be following as the playoffs chug along. Appreciate it.
All right, good to be with you.
All right, Mark Weiser there of the Athens Banner Herald. Yeah, this Sharon Moore story is absolutely bonkers. Again, if you missed it, he was fired earlier today for cause after an alleged incident involving a coworker, which the specific details have not been released. And then just about an hour ago, Pete Thamel of ESPN is reporting that Moore has been detained by police because they want to investigate potential crimes committed. Wow. I mean, talk about one heck of a dog day afternoon there in Ann Arbor. That is absolutely tough. And you just heard from Mark say, yeah, it kind of maybe screws them over a little bit because they weren't expecting to have to do this now. And maybe there are a couple of guys out there. I know their old DC is in L.A. as a defensive coach right now. Maybe they call on him to come back and lead the program. We shall see. We'll be back. 404-726-0929 is the number to get involved. Raheem Morris, if he comes back, how would you feel? Plus, Ray McLeod posting on Instagram. It's a whole mess right now at Flowery Branch. We'll take some calls next and let you hear from Coach Rock.